Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I am Michael Elves, joined in the dugout by my pal, Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And my other pal, out in the bullpen on the phone, Chris Zug.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Michael.
I appreciate that the way I was saying it did not seem to indicate that both of you were pals, but I mean, why would we hanging out together otherwise?
Every single Thursday night.
Exactly. We've been doing this for a year now.
Yeah. Oh, so God. And everyone has been doing whatever they've been doing through this pandemic, to say the least.
To say the least. So I mean there's been a fair bit of stuff to talk about, some good, some bad, and then some kind of in the gray area. What do we want to start? Positive news, negative news?
Let's do the gray. I like gray. Let's go in the middle.
So in the gray area, you've got, you know, some like minor kind of things in terms of, you know, like the Blue Jays and Tommy Malone agreeing to a minor league deal. You've got, you know, like small kind of like nothing, like transactions that aren't going to rock the boat and might have some impact on the team at some point in the season. But you know, nothing that's lighting the ticker on fire. What did you think? I mean, Tommy Malone as our resident Jays fan, obviously, Brian, we got to ask you.
He's fine. I don't know. He's,
that's like a minor league deal. Is that correct? It's sort of like
an invitation to major league spring training. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's been bad recently. I mean, you know, you had him on the Twins for a couple of years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back when he was actually not as terrible. He was on that really great 2012.
He was a serviceable pitcher. And I mean, this is the thing, is like his stuff worked at Target Field.
Yeah. And he was really great on those two Oakland teams in back-to-back years in 2012 and 2013. He was really, really good for them. He was a starter for them, threw 190 innings in 2012, and had a 3.74 ERA. It's actually really solid, but he's not really been good since then. In 2017, put up a 7.63 ERA. 2018, he was 5.81. 2019, he was 4.76. And last year with two teams, he was 6.69. Nice.
That's not good.
Yeah, no, it's bad. But, you know,
it's a bad trend going upwards. You, as a pitcher, you want to have the numbers go down.
No, I understand how that works, Zook. yeah, at...
You know what? It's an invite. It doesn't mean he's going to make the team, right? Like, you know, maybe, you know, there's
and
something
the Jays
left
have,
with them.
The Jays have done things with good players. Jays have done things with bad pitchers before.
Yeah, with like decent to mediocre pitchers that they've kind of, I don't want to say resuscitated, but at least made usable.
Yep. They've done this before and they'll probably do it again, right? Like they did this last year with Rafael Dolis, right? Who was not good in a lot of different places and ended up being, you know, pretty okay for the Jays.
I got to be honest, we're talking way too much about this guy. He might not even make the team.
Yeah, well, no, exactly.
This is a gray area, right? I got you.
Zook's right.
One other piece of
I don't say that often, but...
I'll take that one again.
One other piece of news that, I mean, it's not, you know, setting off alarm bells, but Shohei Ohtani, the word is he, you know, touched 97 miles per hour in spring training.
I hope so. I really want Shohei to be good. I really want him to be good.
I mean, I do. You know, this is a grain of salt because this is a spring training, but I mean, he's working his way back from injury and, you know, trying to get his pitching career back because this is, I mean, he's a two-way player.
I really want him to be good. I really want him to be good, man. Like, that's just the long and short of it. Baseball is more fun when Shohei Ohtani is doing Shohei Ohtani things. That's just it. There's no other way to put it. Baseball is just more fun if there is a player in baseball who can be both an above average hitter and an above average pitcher.
And he's with the right team, right? You know, Madden's going to let him go here. They won't put restrictions on him if he's available, healthy. And let's see what he can do this year. I would agree with Brian. How about that? I'll give it right back.
Hey.
I will agree with Brian. Well, what a Thursday we got going here. We got. Don't worry. I'll spark it up in a second.
Sure. Yeah, so Ohtani, you know, doing his 2018 debut, he averaged about 97 miles per hour. So, I mean, this was his...
And got hit out of the park.
Yeah, I was going to say, he can't get any worse than last year. That was not a good... Yeah, he was just not good.
Touched 97 and 98 on the gun, but could not hit the strike zone. And
when he did, he got hit.
Yeah, walked a billion batters, and then they all got driven home.
Yeah. No, you know what? You know what? That's someone that when he came out of the scene, he was kind of a phenom, and we want to see that again, right? We want these guys to shine because it just helps the game, you know. And mm-hmm. if you could do it from both sides, like from the hitting and the pitching, it's very rare, right? So he's a rare dude that you know. Hopefully, he can get back, you know, to sort of when he broke into the league. A couple years ago there, and it would be fantastic. And it might actually help the Angels make a run to actually make it into the playoffs for once.
Well, they need it. They need it because they're pitching, despite all the whatever quote unquote help that they've gone and gotten. It's
average at best.
I would say it's far worse than that. Wow. Oh man, their pitching is one of the worst in the league right now.
They might try to win 10 and 9 games again.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm just pulling up their depth chart to take a quick look at the currently listed.
Well, I think they talked about it on Effectively Wild that currently, as of right now, the Angels pitching is projected to be like negative wins above replacement, like two standard deviations from the average.
So like Dylan Bundy,
really, really bad.
Andrew Heaney, Jose Quintana, Griffin Canning, Shohei Ohtani, and Alex Cobb.
I'm going to tell you right now, you wouldn't put that team on a video game. You wouldn't be picking that team in a video game, let alone real life.
Well, for all the grief in video games, you get fired now.
All the grief that Arash was giving you the other day about the Jays roster. I mean,
whoa, hang
no,
on.
No, what I'm saying is this, it's not the Angels. Yeah.
No, exactly, right? Like, at least there's an ace on the Jays, and at least there's a prospect you can point to and be like, well, maybe that guy. Right? Like the Angels have a bunch of like washed up dudes, like a lot of has-beens and a lot of like, nah, I don't know about that guy.
I believe Arash is more, I think he was just still more dumbfounded about the second best team in the AL. I still think
it can happen though.
I know you do, Brian, and that's why the offseason's the best thing.
They're going to win games like 10-8, 10-7.
Hope springs eternal, right? That's why it's called spring training.
Except for maybe a couple teams who are out of it even before they get on the
Pirates, the Orioles.
Speaking of hope, Cody Bellinger hopes to be ready to roll for opening day. Apparently, way ahead of the anticipated schedule for his offseason shoulder surgery. and I'll have to mark the time of that to edit it.
Yeah,
I'm a huge Cody Bellinger stan. I love that guy. He's great.
I will say, actually, I think we're actually missing the lead on the Jays here about Vladdy coming in at less 42 pounds. This is what he said.
He's
well,
he's
we're going in the gray really area. Good. This I was going to say. Oh, this is much sorry. More. This, okay, Vladdy, I was primed was to.
I didn't know if.
Oh, no, it's fine. We could transition to this because this is all. I mean, this is what spring training is all about. Is like
he's looking swole.
Pitchers working on something in their arsenal, and then guys coming in the best shape ever. So
yeah, but I mean, like the pictures of Vladdy, that man actually came in the best shape of his life. He looks ridiculous.
Again, yeah, I mean that could only help. I mean, it seems like he has a good attitude. He doesn't, you know, put me wherever they want to on the field or DH even and stuff. But yeah, I mean, he's given himself a chance because, you know, he probably needed to lose, you know, which we probably all can during this pandemic, right? But he's a professional athlete and he gets paid a lot of money to, you know, be on the field there and to be at the best. Yeah, I mean, I will say this. I mean, that's a start, right? I mean, does it equate to, you know, 20 more hits or 10 more home runs? Well,
no, I think it's less. I think it's going to be less.
It's more for durability, wouldn't right. you think? Right.
It's durability and it's durability and fielding. He'll be able to stay at third base longer that way, which is great. And he won't maybe like it'll help him running the base paths as well. That'll add value that way. I love Vladdy. I love Vladdy probably as much as any single human being on the planet, other than maybe his old man. But he has got to figure out something with his swing because his launch angle is not there. And he's just going to keep putting the ball into the ground if he doesn't smarten up or figure out some, you know, way to deal with that because it's.
But he's an unconventional hitter like his dad a bit, right? Like, I mean, there's, I mean. You know,
he's a Vladdy, much more patient hitter than his dad.
Yeah, I mean, but Vladdy Sr. is also a Hall of Famer. So, I mean, that's not the worst.
Could
know,
hit it, you know.
He could hit it off the ground.
Right
literally.
Off the plate.
Right. And but Vladdy Sr.'s launch angle was at least like, you know, impressive. It did stuff and he could put it the ball in different places. Junior's mostly a pull hitter who seems to be putting the ball into the ground every single chance he gets, which is, you know, not what you want.
Sure, but I mean, again, he's a bit, you know, I mean, he's got a, you know, this is a year to kind of change.
He's got to figure some stuff out.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But I mean, baseball's a hard game to figure out sometimes, right? You know, some of these guys, you know, takes a little bit longer. I mean, I would say like someone like Christian Yelich, right? Like who was.
Same issue. Had launch angle issues his entire time in Miami. Goes to Milwaukee, yeah. Figures it out,
right? You know, maybe you know.
God, I wish we had traded for him.
Well, but again, someone like that. Did anyone know he was going to become like a star, close to a superstar? Right? Like, I mean,
I did. Remember, okay. I was on this show arguing for it.
Sure. Okay. So Brian, you should give a call to the Blue Jays.
No. Listen, but like I get one right every now and then.
Sure. Fair enough. I mean, you know, I'll take, was that Lucas Giolotti?
Oh my goodness. You can't even get the poor man's name right.
Giolito, there you go. See, I was championing him for like 2-3 years before he finally broke through, right? So, and he had that really downswell a bit, but no, overall with Vladdy, it's impressive.
It's exciting,
right? He put the work in to get himself ready for this year, and that's what you're supposed to do to help yourself on the field and stay on the field, right?
So yep. Hopefully no, it's exciting. It's good.
That's, you know, and that's kind of the cool thing. Like you're saying, Michael, that's spring training is kind of that exuberance of, you know, hey, look at these guys that you haven't seen for 3-4 months. And now they're coming back and then they're getting into the swing of things again, literally, and go from there. I'm just wondering on your list there, do you have any update about your Twinkies?
What specifically are we?
Well, I'm just saying there could be a little bit of a negative news that came out of Twinland this week.
I might have missed the
their star prospect is out for the year.
Oh, Royce shoot. Lewis. I wasn't even looking at the minor stuff.
Yeah, Royce Lewis is out for the year.
That's not good, but I don't know if he was expected to be up this year.
But, well, I mean... But it's just pushes him back. right? Yeah. So that's the whole thing, right? I mean, it's one of these that, you know, it's just like anyone else, right? Any of these guys who are, you know, the prospects who are, you know, trying to make that leap to the big leagues. Well, he's another year behind now, right? So
torn ACL.
Sorry to bring that up there.
That's too bad. No, I've been looking at, you know, players that are expected to be on the roster for opening day. You were talking about, you know, spring training and the like kind of things we always hear, or, you know, things we get excited about. I don't know if any of you saw the piece about Darvish, that the Padres' plan is let Darvish be Darvish. And so apparently in his first live batting practice today, he threw 5 different off-speed pitches.
Oh my God. Yes, please. Oh, remember when he finally got that weird splitter sinker thing going last year, and it just turned sent his game in a whole, like, to a whole nother level. If he manages to work out and develop like at least 1 or 2 other pitches, man, that man is filthy. He's so much fun to watch pitch because it's like, he's just got a gazillion pitches he can throw. You never know what's coming. It's so fun to watch the commentators try and figure it out too. Cause, you know, most of the guys, they do their research and they understand what the guy's pitch repertoire is. And, you know, they can see pitch movement from where they are in the booth most of the time. But, you know, so they know sort of what a guy's going to throw. But when a guy like Darvish comes out and the commentator's just sitting there staring at the radar gun being like, I have no idea what he threw right there, but it's a strike.
Yeah.
That's just fun.
It is, because a lot of times, especially now, some, you know, we're more specialized in the pitching, right? And so guys,
everybody just throws fastball slider. Right,
they're throwing 2 pitches, maybe 3 if they want to push a little bit, but most of them, yeah, they're not going to be like Darvish. And I mean, he stays healthy in that bulk, in that roster, that rotation. Oh my goodness. Like
Padres are fun. Padres are fun. Well,
and if they're going to let him do what he likes to do with this kind of thing, like the fact that, you know, in a 20 pitch session, 5 of those were like completely different off speed pitches.
Bananas. The man is incredible. One of the best pitchers I think I've seen. Just the most like,
I do encourage people to look online and find the overlay.
His pitch tunneling
is
so good.
Outstanding.
So explain that, Brian, about what that means, like pitch tunneling.
So pitch tunnel. Yeah. So pitch tunneling basically is the process of keeping your pitches looking the same as long as
off
possible.
The release point, like the kind of the release point. Correct?
Not even just the release point,
just,
but like how close the ball is to the plate before it breaks and looks different. So like his splitter, his sinker, his fastball, and his changeup all look identical out of the hand, up until about, I don't know, maybe 15 feet from the plate. And then they all just dive in different directions.
So you're saying the Astros would have had a hard time. They're banging the trash cans on that, right? Because they wouldn't know.
Well,
that's
exactly what it says about that, right? That if they didn't know what pitch is coming, like it's so hard to hit, but because they knew what pitch was coming, they were able to knock them around.
Exactly. Right. But yeah. Yeah. So
I'll send you the video. It's crazy how it works.
Can you actually send that to Michael as well? And then we could have that people can look that up as well. Cause
of course,
I think there is something about that, right? Cause it is, that's where the advantage then goes to the pitcher. If you can disguise your pitches, then it's going to be hard to hit them, right?
Yep.
Well, this was the a few years ago, I guess, when the softball pitcher pitched in spring training against some major leaguers, and like none of them could hit her because they just could not figure out what the release point was. Right, that they were so used to looking for the pitch, and even though the pitch was significantly slower than a major league hardball, because they just could not like visualize what the release point was and how it calculating when that would end up over the plate, they were just kind of getting fooled.
Yeah,
and so if your brain is trained to look for something, and then somehow the thing you're watching for is deceptive, right? Like the way a Darvish
yeah.
p- pitch can be, you can get stymied, right? Because I mean, we're talking like fractions of a second in terms of like how much your brain and your body have to react.
But
and if the arm angle and pitch grip look the same out of the hand, then like how are you supposed to, the information
you're getting is like next to none.
Yeah.
But and the other thing is, because with Darvish is because he's got so many in his repertoire, that because a lot of his hitters now are just sitting on fastball, right? Or slider, right? They kind of have there's a rhythm to it. So if he has, you know, he goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? That it doesn't even matter because they don't know what is coming, right? And
that's
and
exactly that's, the point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, it's again, these are fun players in the major leagues that people should be championing and watching, because
this God, might the Padres be the last, are just
this
be
might be the last year you could see him before something happens after this. So
the Padres are just going to be so much fun.
I mean, Padres against Dodgers. You know what? That's going to be what 19 times a year. That's going to be fantastic series and games throughout this year. I mean, those could just be epic, you know, kind of playoff mode right from the start this year, which would
I can
be
tell
fantastic.
You that because MLB TV refuses to let me watch the Blue Jays because blackouts are apparently something that they think is a good idea. I'm going to spend almost all my game watching time watching the Padres because they are probably the most fun team in baseball.
Well, from one of the most fun teams in baseball to a very troubled one. It's a hard pivot, but I think we need to talk about the Mariners.
Oh, yes.
So obviously, I mean, a lot of this has kind of broke earlier in the week. Excuse me, I'm just about to sneeze here. Broke earlier Bless in the week. You. Thank you. The CEO, Kevin Mather, basically not necessarily caught on tape, but like we're some sort of like weird public forum.
Yeah, he just said it out loud.
Said the quiet part.
Uh-huh.
Spoke it out aloud and someone taped it. Right. And then he said it to a function that, you know, that someone, you know, I mean, it wasn't like he was caught off guard or whatever. He knew what he was saying to this group. Right. So, you know, yeah. Just the problem is that, It was captured, and that's where
For those who don't know, what did he say?
Well, he said a lot of things because the thing was like a 45 minute talk, right? I mean, like there were multiple troubling or discouraging things that he said. He said some basically like racist stuff about foreign players and not learning to speak English.
Big yikes!
And then he also like called a couple of the he said Kyle Seager's overpaid.
Said Marco Gonzalez.
I mean, he's probably not wrong about the Kyle Seager part, but that's fine. You don't say that.
Their top prospect boring.
Yeah.
And then
Jared Kelenic or the
no Marco Gonzalez, and then he basically admitted to service time manipulation.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Like you know the long kind of practiced but never discussed holding players back so that you can manipulate service time, and that regardless of how Jared Kelenic played, he would not be on the opening day lineup.
It's just ridiculous. That guy's really good at baseball.
And that so yeah. I mean, like I don't even understand fully the venue in which he was like doing this interview that he chose to like say all these things. But like you said, he said the quiet parts out loud. Like, you know, I read a piece on The Athletic where they're like, certainly there's probably some other executives in baseball who hold some of these opinions, and particularly when it comes to the service time thing, right? Because it's a money decision.
Oh, don't kid yourself. The union's going to use this in negotiation.
This is the thing, right? We're 100%. Heading into a new MLBPA, MLB bargaining period next year, and it's definitely going to be fuel or grist for the mill. But it was one of those things that they did without saying they were doing it. Whereas like, he just basically was like, this is what we're doing. And I mean, he did eventually resign in the wake of the video and the backlash that he and the organization received. But, I still don't understand kind of like what prompted this? You know, like even if you were having like a conversation with some sort of outside body as like an executive, you have to be cognizant that you're like representing the organization. So why you would be trashing players in your organization and
can I give the two cents about sort of what I read about this is that this wasn't the first time that he'd been in kind of some hot water. There were some accusations of improper behavior with female staff members.
Oh, wow.
Earlier,
no kidding.
Right. And so he kind of got, you know, they sort of made an apology, whatever. He's been with the organization for like 20 years. So the deal is, it's sort of one of these things that I feel, and I'm just reading a little bit here. So, don't take this to the bank, but is that I think, you know, there's a bit of arrogance there. There's just that I'm going to just say this out loud and there's really not going to be a lot of ramifications or fallout that's going to happen because he's already gone through it before, right? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Is that
he got his way
all the way up to, you know, being the president, the CEO of the Mariners, and so just doesn't think that it's a big deal, right? I mean, I would agree with you, Micah. It doesn't make any sense why you would say it, but in some respects is like, well, if you've got away with other behavior over, a couple decades, then what's just saying what you think is, just matter-of-factly what's out there. And it's probably right, is that there's probably a lot of organizations that feel that way. They just don't say it out loud,
Probably.
And this guy did. And so, I mean, rightfully so, the Seattle had to, let him go or whatever way they, I know about communications here, he resigned or whatever, but, they also said, take a hike too, right? Because they just can't take the PR hit. I mean, they're trying to get people to come back to the game and stuff. And you just can't, you can't just, talk down about your organization and then have people say, hey, but we're trying to win this year. Well, you're not, right? You've just admitted that you don't want to have, you think you're overpaying.
I don't think anybody thought
the
Mariners were actually trying to win this year. Jerry DePoto's doing Jerry DePoto.
But you gotta sell some. Every year you have to sell a little bit.
They have great prospects. That's why.
Sure. Yeah. But anyways, it's just, I think it was just, and it's also probably a culture thing, right? That how this guy got to that high of a position and then spouting off this, this garbage really that he did in public it's not good. It's not a good look for the organization. It's not a good look for Major League Baseball. And if the union's smart, they're going to use some of this when they're negotiating, for the next deal, because he said it out loud, what no one else wants to say, but some of those things, I'm sure he's not in the minority.
Probably not.
Yeah. So Mather had said that Kelenic would not be on the opening day roster, but that he'd be in the majors by the end of April.
Yeah, when he gets,
and so
they click over, and that they can take another year out of his service, right? So
it,
that they can
it did,
retain him.
The piece I read on MLB Trade Rumors by Steve Adams did indicate that this is, fuel for a grievance that the MLBPA could file. Kelenic and his agent Brody Schofield actually spoke to USA Today, Bob Nightingale. And basically it was made crystal clear to Jared, this is Schofield quoted as by Nightingale, that the decision to keep him at the Mariners alternate training site for 2020 season was driven by service time. If he had signed a contract, he would have been in the big leagues, said Schofield. Kellen agreed, saying it was a God's honest truth. The fact that it was communicated to him multiple times. Mather, so obviously resigned. DePoto has tried to distance himself from much of Mather's commentary, but he tried to push back on the service time mechanism. But, this is an organization that Evan White inked a 6-year, $24 million deal before making his debut, which obviously meant he started when he should have, based on performance and not just on signing, whereas Kelenic obviously did not and sat out for the season. And so, it's not like a lone wolf situation in this circumstance that Mather was like acting alone. This is an institution thing, and this is an institutional thing, when we talk right. about baseball.
Yeah, it's an awful problem, because I mean it was an awful problem before, but at least there was always the understanding that, like, you get paid on the back end. You know, you get paid for past performance, because
they're not doing that now,
and they're not doing that anymore, right?
Right.
Nobody exactly. complained about the way it was. I mean, not many people complained about the way it was, and there wasn't as much complaint about service time manipulation back when players would come up and they would get paid on the back end, because they were getting paid on the back end. But now, you know, they manipulate your service time, and then so they don't bring you up until you're older, and then they don't. Nobody pays 28, 29, 30 year olds anymore, because the math doesn't make sense. And so if you're not getting paid when you're young and you're not getting paid when you're old, then guess what? You're just not getting paid. And that's bad for baseball.
Right. And it's bad because you don't get to see those guys when they're ready to play baseball at the major league level. I mean, that's, you know, you're holding back, you know, players that can help your team, and then also players that can entertain fans, right? Like, again, this is a business, right? So are we in there to entertain the fans and have the best players available on the field?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. DePoto's name, not on the back of a jersey.
No.
No one's coming to watch him.
Jerry DePoto is fun to have in baseball, but nobody's coming to watch him. Nobody's coming to watch, I don't even know this president's name. Nobody's coming to watch him. Guess what? Nobody's coming to watch the owner of the Seattle Mariners. Nobody gives a dang. No. They're there to see Jared Kelenic. They're there to see, Marco Gonzalez. They're there to see, I don't even know who's on the Mariners.
Well, exactly. Kyle Lewis, is Kyle Lewis on there still?
Yes, Kyle Lewis is on there.
Yeah, so there you go. A couple guys.
There's D. Gordon. D. Gordon still plays for the Mariners, I think. Boy, some tough sledding for the Mariners, man.
They had their window a while ago, so yeah.
I'm looking. I gotta square this circle, otherwise my brain's just gonna kill me. James Paxton, Big Maple went back. They got Justin Sheffield. Yusei Kikuchi.
Again.
Ken Giles, baby.
Oh, there you go. Again, guys, you would not use on any video game ever.
Kyle Seager, Shed Long.
Okay.
Mitch Haniger. Haniger?
Haniger, I think. Yeah.
Haniger. Yeah. He was coming back.
No, D. Gordon. D. Gordon not there.
No, I think he's like Cincinnati or something like that. I think he moved over to the
that NFL. Is – oh, boy.
Tough sledding. Tough sledding.
It's going to be a rough year. I'm sorry, Mariners fans. Again.
Probably won't be watching them on the MLB app.
Well, I mean, the late night game, so maybe. We'll see.
Sure enough. Okay, well, with that dour note, we do have to wrap things up. Thanks for tuning into the Bench Shockies. We'll be back next Friday.
Before we go, I'm just wondering here, just any pity party preview?
Oh man, is it that important? Yeah, I'm doing something fun this week.
I'm always interested. I like to give you a little bit of a teaser, so when people are listening tomorrow, that they'll be listening all the way through until your show.
I'm doing something fun and exciting this week, just because I need a little bit of pick me up myself. Oh. I'm playing all night, like late 90s and 2000s pop punk music. And I'm calling the episode The Pizza Party this week.
Oh, nice. That's good. Do you have any songs, titles with the name pizza in it?
No, but a lot of them talk about pizza. So.
Okay. Yeah, good stuff. Well, it's a
pop punk staple in the early 2000s.
People once they finish listening to us, just keep on listening until 101.
There's time to order a pizza.
There's exactly. time to order a pizza. Yeah, exactly. Have it delivered. Pick someplace local. Enjoy.
Support local. Take care, folks. Back next week.
Strike three. You're out.